This is Jackson Peterson, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Humboldt, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on a Monday morning. I'm Don Wick, along with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have reports from Melissa Hammer and Tyler Donaldson. There are few opportunities for fields to dry out this week and resume planting. There's multiple chances of rain in the forecast really throughout the week. Southeastern South Dakota and southwestern Minnesota have a chance for severe weather tonight. For North Dakota, northern South Dakota, and western Minnesota, the National Weather Service says the highest chances of rain are tomorrow and on Wednesday. According to NDON, weekend rain totals include just over an inch at Greenbush, Minnesota, 93 hundredths at Roseau, 8 tenths at Ada, 79 hundredths at Jamestown, Fargo, 7 tenths, Grafton, 56 hundredths, Langdon, 17 hundredths over the weekend, and Wadena, just under a tenth of an inch.
Traders will be watching this afternoon's USDA Crop Progress Report for planting progress. AgriSampo North America analyst Sterling Smith expects decent progress over the weekend.
We are a little bit behind the five-year average, just a little bit. But as we all know, when these guys get going, they can go in a hurry. And we were a little behind around here, but we had a couple of good days. Early in the week, we got some rain, and we're going to have 3 days of unabated sunshine and 77, 75, 80-degree weather. And then there's going to be rain coming back on Monday, so I'm sure they're going to be going full bore this weekend. So we should see some pretty good progress numbers.
Well, the rains have slowed planting. It has improved subsoil moisture substantially.
In Iowa, we've seen a fair amount of drought abatement, and some guys who are maybe holding back a little bit, they should be going as well. Illinois is the slowest state right now for progress, and we are running behind, but the weather there should also allow, at least in the northern half, north of Interstate 74, should be pretty good progress, and from what I gather from on-the-ground reports south of 74, they should be doing fairly well also.
The Agriculture Policy and Supplemental Budget Bill has passed in both the Minnesota House and Senate. With the midnight deadline approaching, nine bills were combined into one in the House. Majority Leader Jamie Long said the minority has a right to be heard, but the majority has the right to govern, and brought that massive bill up for a vote. Chaos took over with the Republicans upset with the DFL majority. Amid the commotion, the combined bill passed on a 70-50 margin in the House. After adjournment, Republicans filed an ethics complaint against House Speaker Melissa Hortman for pushing that large bill through at the last minute after shutting down debate. On the Senate side, the ag bill passed with a 36-31 margin.
The final ag bill in the Minnesota legislature extends the Agriculture Fertilizer Research and Education Council through 2030. The House bill would have allowed AFREC to expire in 2025 and divert the 40 cent per ton fee on fertilizer purchases for a new private well water assistance program for southeastern Minnesota. Senate wanted to extend AFREC for another 10 years. The compromise bill requires the council to develop best management practices for areas where water is vulnerable to nitrate loss. Senate Ag Committee Chair Eric Putman praised the negotiation process in the conference committee.
So often in politics, we think that what makes things happen is passion, but in truth, it's patience. And this is a result of patience, grace, and thoughtfulness. I'm very proud of this bill.
Democrats on the House Ag Committee on the federal level have released a statement highlighting the numerous groups opposed to the Farm Bill text released by Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson. Those groups include the Union for Concerned Scientists, the Environmental Working Group, and the AFL-CIO.
Russell Group President Randy Russell said the Farm Bill text released this past Friday includes many policy priorities from mainstream ag groups. That includes an increase in reference prices.
Corn went up, I think, about 11%. Soybeans were up 18.5%, and wheat was up 15.5%. Rice actually got almost a little over 20% increase. So I think that's a plus. There are some provisions in here that allow producers to update their base one time if their planted acres exceed their base acres. There's some adjustments in the pay caps for various programs, the payment limitations.
And there are enhancements for crop insurance and a doubling of the market access program and foreign market development programs. The approach to conservation has been divisive, but Russell does remain optimistic about that title. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. We're in the final hours of the Minnesota legislative session. Bills were all finalized over the weekend. Today, it is just the final speeches. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
With the legislative sessions coming to a close, Minnesota Farmers Union Government Relations Director Stu Laurie is pleased that a number of programs important to the union have made it into the final bill.
Good news, just briefly, for Farmers Union, you know, our big priority coming into this session was making sure that we were addressing the shortfall in the Agri program. That was carried in both bills, and not a huge surprise, but still important. It is reflected in the final package. Also a bunch of money, as we expected, addressing nitrates and groundwater in the southeast. And also significantly, there's a bunch of money for soil health equipment grants. We ended up with $495,000 in additional money to help farmers purchase equipment that helps them implement new practices that promote soil health and cover cropping, reduce tillage.
Laurie says that an agreement was reached to extend AFREC.
There's also new money for supporting the next generation of meat cutters, an increase for farm to school to accommodate expanding that program. And a big sticking point for negotiations this last week, they did come to an agreement to extend the Agriculture Fertilizer Research and Education Council, AFREC, which is funded by a fee on fertilizer sold in the state. That goes into a fund that farmer representatives on a board help direct towards research priorities that help inform judicious use of fertilizer. So that was kind of a final puzzle piece to fall into place. And it looks like we do have agreement there. And if they can make time on the floor and get this out of conference committee, we are very hopeful and counting on having an agriculture bill this year.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
According to Minnesota Federal Reserve Bank Senior Agricultural Coordinator Tate Berg, farmers in the 9th District paid $840 million in interest payments in 2023.
The rising interest expense is kind of two stories. The first is that, of course, interest rates have increased, and because of that, borrowing costs increases. And the second part is that the ag production loan balances have also increased as well. Part of that is due to production expenses remaining elevated. And for 2023, ag production loans in the 9th District increased by 11%. So if you include that increase in ag production loans plus the increase in interest rates, overall, that's a really big impact.
But Berg says the growth of interest rates is slowing.
So interest rates in 2024 have moderated slightly. The most recent results from the 9th District Ag Credit Condition Survey, they show that operating loans, on average, they went down about 20 basis points. So the average right now for the first quarter of 2024 is about 8.6%. And when you compare that to the first quarter in 2023, it's about 50 basis points higher. So back then it was 8.1%. So it has gone up a little bit. I think one way to say it is the interest rates are still increasing, but at a decreasing rate.
Representatives of the Canadian Pacific Kansas City Railway are saying a Canadian rail strike or lockout is not expected to happen until mid-July at the earliest. Union workers authorized a strike that could have started as soon as this Wednesday. The Canada Industrial Relations Board is now reviewing the process, pushing back any potential strike or work stoppage for 60 days. The CPKC and the Canadian National are both negotiating with the labor unions in a dispute over pay and hours.
The man behind the RFD TV and satellite radios, Rural Radio 147, has died. Pat Gosch started his move into the broadcast business in 1991 with Superior Livestock, introducing satellite video marketing to the livestock industry. His full-time agricultural television channel, RFD-TV, was launched in 2000. Gosch was 70 years old.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association and its counterparts from Mexico and Canada have signed a joint statement urging their governments to re-engage in opening markets and provide science-based oversight to beef imports. Brazilian trade was singled out. The NCBA said it has significant concerns about Brazil continuing to have access to the U.S. market, even though it has a history of failing to disclose animal health concerns, including atypical BSE. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. While planting delays are a market factor, demand also is part of that conversation. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has more.
The corn and soybean markets have not been favorable for farmers. Farm management analyst Kent Tesey explains that basis has been playing a key role in prices in southern Minnesota.
It's been kind of in a holding pattern. We get a few days where it may go up a little bit, a few days it goes down. The other factor I think farmers have watched on that is the basis. Some of the ethanol plants and feed mills have had some temporary tighter basis levels down here, which have been attractive. So I think that's brought some corn to market. And not that it's the prices probably totally desired.
There are many factors that TC is planning to watch when predicting where the markets will go in the future.
We certainly got to keep an eye on what's happening with the usage of the crop, both domestically for feed and ethanol and biofuels, what that happens, and then exports. You know, there's been some activity here again with China recently with tariffs and stuff, and I think that usually makes farmers pretty nervous when they start hearing China and tariffs used in the same sentence, because we all remember back in 2018 and 19 when China decided to slap some pretty heavy tariffs on some of the U.S. products.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
The International Trade Commission will move forward with a petition from Corteva to place anti-dumping and countervailing duties on 2,4-D imports from China and India. A coalition of national farm groups representing corn, soybeans, wheat, barley, durum, and sorghum urged the ITC to vote against advancing the petition. National Corn Grower Association President Harold Woolley, who farms in Minnesota, said the tariffs will only increase input costs. The final stage of the ITC process will happen in early 2025. In the markets, we're seeing double-digit gains for wheat. Minneapolis, 12 3/4 higher this morning. July's at 7.24 1/4. Chicago wheat for July, 18 1/2 higher. And hard red winter wheat, July, a 19-cent gain. Corn better as well, 3 1/2 higher for July at 4.56. New crop corn, 4 1/4 higher. And soybeans, too, were 6 cents higher for July soybeans, 12.34 the quote. November, 12.06 1/4, that is a 3-cent gain. On the farm calendar, the Minnesota Grazing Lands Conservation Association is hosting an event for women in the livestock industry. The event will be held at a women-owned and operated heifer development operation at Black Duck, Minnesota. The dates are June 4th through the 5th. And Grand Farm has their Innovation Shop Grand Opening coming up. That'll be held on June 10th. That'll be held at Wheatland, North Dakota. They'll have speakers, demonstrations, and more. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.